A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 24th November 2022, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, the Unique Dhamma Quote by Brother Teo. So we will commence our puja chanting. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svagato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supadipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati patta viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue our puja chanting by chanting the Padipa puja. And to page 3 of the chanting book. Padipa puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujyeye pujaniyam tang pujabhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang petang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Cya Hotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adiya Setu No Bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Ini we will now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May this merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we help pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. So before I start, would like to maybe all of you might have heard the news. We finally managed to see a new PM number 10. I think most people would have been worried if the PM is otherwise. So we would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who has helped out in contributing to the change in the shift of consciousness where all this become possible. All of your faith, your good mind state, and contribution towards the collective consciousness has bring about the causes and condition for this to be possible. Then also all kaya our chanting where we invoke power of merits, especially the part on Devo Vasadukalina, Sansa Sampadihe Tuja, Vito Bhavatu Lokoja, Raja Bhavatu Namiko. So we hope for good weather, good harvest, prosperity for the country, and a righteous king and government. So all these are very important causes and conditions. So hopefully from now onward, we can have a more united country, a unity government, like the king say, all are inclusive, and he's supposed to be a very efficient and very well balanced type of functioning government. So looking forward, to the bright future of our country. In fact, the first sign is the ringgit recovered. Then after that was the stock market rally. So Brother Teo have a joke just now at the dinner. He said, next time vote of confidence, no need to look at the candidate, look at the stock market. Then you roughly will be able to predict how the vote is going to be. Anyway, thank you so much. Okay, so now, as usual, we will off the light, then we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. So as usual, just remember the four support for awareness-based meditation, then just develop them. The first three are very simple, but you need to develop understanding. The first support is relax. Relax both body and mind. When you are completely relaxed, you are at ease. Without thought, because there is no problem at all. When you are at ease, your mind is free, your body is without stress. But when you have problem, unresolved issue or fear, worry, anxiety or insecurity, then it will condition you into negativity or mind states. It will stress you up. That's why you cannot relax and you cannot develop the meditation, especially awareness within. So once you are able to relax, then the second support become very easy. Yes, aware. Aware means before the knowing, before the perception, means whatever arises within nature, within the environment. Because as a human being, we have the five aggregates of form and mind. We have the five physical senses together with the brain, the sixth sense. So upon contact of mind with the sixth sense and the respective sense of consciousness, we tend to develop the movement of the mind. This movement, which is the mental activity, You must have mindfulness and awareness to observe them, to understand them. Otherwise, you will be deceived and deluded by them. So this second support of aware means just aware, finish. No need to do anything. No need to know. No need to do. When you try to know and try to do, the thought become active. That's why you cannot be aware. So don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Then no thought will arise. So like hearing, upon impingement of the vibration or whatever sense data upon your ear, then there is this consciousness that arises. It's like the physics experiment, naturally arise. When you become conscious, just aware. Don't even try to perceive. Because the moment you perceive, without wisdom, you tend to think. If you can be aware, perceive, then finish. Also very good. Then the perception will give rise to the knowing, then stop. But the best is don't try to know, just aware, finish. Smell also same, taste also same, seeing also same. Then tactile also same. You feel the tactile movement, aware, finish. You feel your heartbeat, aware, finish. Whatever that trigger of mental activity, just aware, even your thought activity, especially from the brain. Because our brain is where the memories are. So thought are respond to memory, your unfinished thought process, your unfinished daily activity. They will continue to arise and haunt you because you still have not finished it all. You carry it. You worry about it. You have this subtle, like, unease or insecurity or lack of understanding where you haven't developed the understanding to deal with it. So all this can give rise to mental thinking, that thought which creates the fear in you, the worry, anxiety, and the habitual tendency will continuously arise. So meditation is to silence our mind, to see all this, to understand all this. When we observe silently with awareness, then we know how we are conditioned in such into such negativity or mind state, why our mundane mind move in that particular manner. That's why we will come to know clearly who are we, what are we, and how do we function as a human being. This is what vipassana is all about. This is what mindfulness, awareness is all about. You become sensitive, you become aware. And through this awareness, the negativity of mind state that arises can be observed. Your defilement can be observed. There are a lot of defilements. Whatever mind state that has the evil result, greed, hatred, and delusion are defilements. So your fear, your anxiety, your phobia, your insecurity, your lack of peace, your suffering, your misery, your sorrow element are all born of your wrong thought, delusion that condition you to grasp, cling, and hold because you don't know how to resolve them. So awareness-based meditation is to see all this, to understand all this. But initially, we have to train our mind until this awareness become very stable. Very stable before you can do all those things. So the stability of it is very important. That's why the four support. First, relax, which I have explained. Then, aware. Aware means Just away, finish. Away, finish. Then sometimes, if you have the habitual tendency of away, perceive, then also finish. Don't allow it to continue to proliferate so that you are lost in thought. You get preoccupied with what that thought is telling you. Then you are no longer in the state of awareness to meditate, to understand what is going on, because your thought has taken you away. You have actually wandered off, preoccupied with that thought process, that creation, the stirring, the reaction to sense experience. So observe all this and understand why one cannot meditate. Why is one not peaceful? Well, these are all mental hindrance, either sensual desire or ill will, or restlessness of mind, or doubt, or even sloth and torpor, sleepiness. So all this, when you have mindfulness, you can see them. And these are mental hindrance, according to the teaching. So if they are mental hindrance, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot develop it. So this will bring us to the third support. After you continuously train to relax, aware, then the third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Just do that. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just stabilize it. Then all the observation will come by itself. The understanding will come by itself. The insight into phenomena will happen by itself. The direct seeing will happen by itself. But it can only arise if your sati has been developed and stabilized. Otherwise, it can't. Okay? The fourth support you don't do so early unless you have progress and you are going for the Bodhisattva way, then you do the fourth support. The fourth support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation, to have the awareness-based nature to develop the movement, no interference from the thought process. No thought is involved. Everything is from that nature. So that one, for those who have already developed the stability of mindfulness and have the understanding, then you can go for the fourth support. You just relax, maintain awareness, and silence everything and stay at the heart area until this awareness nature detects whatever movement or gateway where your nature is. That one you need to be very patient. You need to train and allow time for it to happen. When it happens, you will understand. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamam Munirajasa Sunanto sakkamokkhadang Dhammasvanan kalo ayang padantha Dhammasvanan kalo ayang padantha ธัมมสวนังกาโล อายัง บาทันตา นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโต อะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโต อะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโต อะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ อิติปิโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธ วิจจาจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิดู อนุตตโรปุริสธัมมสาริ สัตตาเดวามนุสสานัง พุทโธภะคะวะติ สวากขาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติโกอะคาลิโกเอหิปัสสิโกปะนายิโกปาจะตังเวทิตาโบเวโนหิติ สุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆ อุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆ ญายาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆ ยามิจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆ ยาทิดังจัตตาริภูริสยุกานิ อัตตปุริสภูกาลา เอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆ อาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตักขิเนโยอัญจลิกาลิโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาติ สาธุ Okay, you all can be seated. So now we shall continue with our sharing from this book, the Unit Dhamma Codes, Straight from the Heart, written by me. We are at code number 15, 15. So this code number 15 is very good. Is actually explain how we can check our training or meditation. So the best way to check one's cultivation is explained by this quote. So you pay attention to this quote. Whenever one is not peaceful and unhappy, then the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. This is the best way to check one's cultivation. So this code 15 and 16, they are related and they are very important. So you look at the whiteboard, unique Dhamma code number 15. The word Dhamma is missing, I write it down. So basically, I put the title as How to Check Defilements. In fact, this is one of the simplest and most effective way to check our defilement, to see our mental negativity. So if you read on code 16, Dhammakut 16, then you will understand. Dhammakut 16 explain, is it develop mindfulness well. This is very important. That's why mindfulness is very important. You can develop it well, then the ability to make you sensitive enough to notice all the fine and subtle negativity of mind state. That's why without mindfulness, you are not sensitive enough. You cannot see all this. So your inability to see all this will prevent you from developing the understanding or the wisdom. So how do we check our mind, whether they are with the defilements or not, whether the kilesas are there or not? These are mind states that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, like I have explained. Eh? Unless you understand what are greed, hatred, and delusion, you can never understand what constitutes evil. So one has to reflect, contemplate deep into these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then only you can check whether the defilements are not are there or not. So, like I say, the best way is to be aware, to be sensitive, to detect our mind state. So I simplify it for you. I say, just check whether you are peaceful or not, whether you are happy or not. So the quote mentioned, whenever one is not peaceful and unhappy, it means the evil roots are there. Defilements are there. Delusions are there. And this is the best way to check your cultivation. Yeah. Most of the time throughout the day when we live our life, I don't know whether you all have done it before or not. If you have checked it before, then you will understand. Most of the time, people without Dhamma, they are not happy. Their mind is not peaceful because they haven't trained their mind. The mind that is untrained thinks a lot, heedless. And the reason why it is heedless and think a lot is because the defilements are there. And this defilement arises because of your mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, restlessness of mind, then doubt. And of course, the other one is sloth and torpor, sleepiness, lethargic mind, These are the five mental hindrances that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. And it is there because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. So this one we have covered under the earlier unit code, unit Dhamma code. So if you have not trained your mind to develop the five spiritual faculties, then this mental hindrance will be there. And with the air there, it will cause you to have negativity of mind state. You will think the wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, etc. And that will make your mind not peaceful, not happy. So the lack of peace and lack of happiness or joy is a very good sign for you to detect that the evils are there. You have defilements within your mind states. So this understanding will enable you to refine your practice. You will be able to see clearly your habitual tendency that give rise to all this negativity of mind state, especially the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, your like and dislike, Sometimes it can be very subtle. And also, the way you are conditioned into accepting things as pleasant and unpleasant. Human beings tend to create reality. We are attracted to pleasant things. We crave and desire for pleasant things. When it's unpleasant, we feel agitated. There is this negative tendency or reaction to reject it or to do away with it. That's why we call it unpleasant feeling, especially when you encounter pain, restlessness of mind, itchiness of mind, numbness, where you feel your body is not functioning the way it should function. So all these are mind states that arise due to lack of wisdom, lack of understanding. And most of it is from your habitual tendency, born of wrong view, wrong thought, because you have already throughout the day, when you are without mindfulness and understanding, the Dhamma understanding, you tend to stir your mind a lot. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, you hear something, you smell something, you tactilely feel something, or you think of something, your mind tends to stir and react to it, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, whether you like it or you dislike it. So this type of sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, is an acquired habitual tendency born of wrong view. Why can't we contemplate and reflect and tell ourselves whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind, like what the Buddha mentioned, the causes and conditions there. You cannot change the condition. The condition is very set. So things is just the way it is. That's why you have to accept that reality. Ability to accept that reality is wisdom. So the next few quotes, you look at the whiteboard, quote 17, 18, and 19 is about acceptance. Acceptance is wisdom. So if you have the ability to reflect and contemplate, then it will reverse your habitual tendency. It will help you root out your wrong thought, your delusion, your fear, your insecurity, or whatever. Because at the moment of sense experience, whatever arises is already decided by the causes and conditions at that time. So we have to come to terms with that reality and accept it first. When you accept, you are at peace, even though it can be a very, very negative situation or a happening that you don't like, that you think is going to affect you or your family or your life or your career or whatever. But these are realities that arise with every moment of life, every moment of sense experience. Whether you like or you don't like, nature is nature. Nature has its own sets of law. So if you lack wisdom, you cannot accept things as they are or see things as they are, means you cannot have acceptance of what happened within the moment, then you are being deluded. You have wrong view, security, self-delusion, where you want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why it cannot manifest, it cannot happen. So in life, there are a lot of happenings or situations where living beings Without this Dhamma, understanding and wisdom cannot go. That's why they cannot free their mind. Most of the time, they create the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, to accept or to reject. So a lot of this understanding is needed when you cultivate. Now I will read on to you the next three quotes that you will understand. Unique Dhamma Quote 17. Yeah? If one can accept the reality of the moment with wisdom, then one can always be at peace. And so now you understand. Yeah? You can be always at peace. Because at that moment when you accept, you're definitely at peace. But it doesn't mean that you stop there. Because most of the time, things that happen may not go your way. If it doesn't go your way, like sometimes your body develops certain type of complication or sickness or disease, then ask you to accept the reality. You say, what am I going to do? The sickness is terrible. That disease is very traumatic. So all these are realities of life and existence. Then sometimes certain very negative thing may happen. It may be a career disaster or economic disaster or nature's condition that give rise to what they call nature's calamity. Like last year's flood and even the recent flood, hurricane, and all those forest fire all over the world. So when we don't have the wisdom to accept the reality and move on, then we will suffer. We will develop fear. We will project our thought and condition our unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. Then at times we may even panic because you don't know what to do. Then that fear is so intense because the thought that project will tell you, what are you going to do? This thing has caused you so much suffering, misery, losses, and all those things. It can be a relationship failure, your career, and other things. So these are realities of life and existence. But it doesn't mean that you accept and stop there. Because you have to still live life, overcome the problem, resolve issue which we have covered earlier on. So Dhamma cultivation, you have to understand all this unique code which are pointer to help you free your mind. That's why acceptance is a very deep-rooted understanding. So here, I will maybe mark it, this word, acceptance. When you develop this ability to accept, it doesn't mean you stop there and you don't act. Acceptance is wisdom. When you can accept, means you understand nature's law. You understand the causes and conditions behind. Thing is just the way it has to be this way. And then we act. That's how you solve your problem, the previous code. How do we act as a cultivator of the way? We don't act according to memory, to trigger of the wrong thought, the fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, etc., phobia. Instead, we act according to Dhamma understanding, which is the wisdom way. So we have to apply the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Well, when you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So This understanding is very important. Yeah? I will read on the next two quotes before I explain the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah? Then unique quote number 18. Yeah? Unique Dhamma quote number 18. If one can accept the reality of the moment with wisdom and move on, then one will not suffer. This is the second most effective quote to allow you to move on. So when you move on means, like I explained just now, you have to have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation with you. Otherwise, you cannot move on. Then the next quote, quote 19, is what I have written on the whiteboard. Acceptance is wisdom. When you can accept the reality of the moment and do not stir your mind, your mundane mind, there is no fear, no anxiety, and you will also not blame others. Your mind is quiet, tranquil. Then it will lead to clarity of mind. With this, you can act, you can resolve all your life issues and problems amicably. We are following Noble Eightfold Path and move on with your life smoothly. This is the most important. Yeah? Then, quote number 20, I must read it for you so that you understand. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, because cultivating it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is what the fourth noble truth is all about. Yeah. So this is a very important understanding. Yeah? So now we come on to application of Noble Eightfold Path. So this one is the most important understanding. How do we apply the understanding of Noble Eightfold Path to move on, to act, to solve our life problem? So basically, Noble Eightfold Path has eight path factors. That's why all these need to be cultivated. So the Buddha said, if you were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which means Noble Eightfold Path is the answer to all worldly problems, life's problems. And the first path factor is right view. Or right understanding. Then the next one is what? Yeah? What is the next one? After right view is what? Ah, right thought, yes. Right thought. Then what is the next one? Yeah? Ah, right speech. Then? Okay, good. Right action. Then? Right living or right livelihood. Eh? Right livelihood. Eh? Then number six is the four right effort. Eh? Okay, right effort. Eh? Number seven, right sati or mindfulness. The last one is samadhi, right samadhi. And samadhi is not concentration. Eh? This one is collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So all these Noble Eightfold Path factors, you need to cultivate them. Then only you can act. Then only you can move on and apply this. That's why this is a topic where most cultivators fail to cultivate. Even after you have developed the formal meditation or daily mindfulness, after you have insight into phenomena, awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, you still need to come back to cultivate all this. Well, that one is just to give you the direct seeing, the insight. That one is very penetrating. That one will let you have a lot of right view. That's why you need to have them first. After you have them, then this right view becomes very easy. Otherwise, you will be deluded. Sakkaditi will always be there. So when you insight into phenomena, you will understand what delusion is, self-delusion. Once you understand what self-delusion is, and you also understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you can act, then you can free. So basically, like the Buddha said, after you have developed the enlightenment or awakening, you will have these four types of conducts where the enlightened beings or the Aryas will possess. First, they will have impeccable or perfect conduct, right conduct. Then after that, they have upright conduct, means they are very righteous. This one, their conduct are perfect, impeccable. Then the next one is they are very wise. That's why they have wise conduct. And the last one is dutiful conduct. They understand within the conditioned world, you have this right duty towards the law of karma. You cannot simply do things, even though it's non-self, anatta, not what you think, not real, not so real. But there is such thing as law of karma. There is such thing as a human being, the five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it is non-self, anatta. But right duty has to be there. So all this will arise when you have developed the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. But before you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you have to develop mindfulness within the formal meditation and the daily life to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to enable you to have the direct seeing, to see things as they are, so that that penetrative wisdom that can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, anatta is there to support you. So this first right view is very important. Basically, we must go through as a revision. There are three types of right view. Spiritual aspect that the Buddha talked about under the Pancha Niyamas. The first one is, what is it? The law of karma, yes. So once you know the law of karma, you know that this is a nature's law within the conditioned world. The law of karma recognizes relationship, even though the ultimate realization is non-self, anatta. So this law of karma is very important. The basic understanding of this law of karma is through the realization that the Buddha has perfected. He explained to us very clearly in the five daily contemplation. He said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of. And that one refers to the human being, the five aggregates of form and mind, the living being. That one is not ultimate Dhamma. That one is mundane Dhamma within the conditioned world. So the right view is very important. To exist, to live life, you need to have that right view, the understanding. Then this law of karma is very powerful, is it? You are not born, not only born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. Your entire life depends on it. That's why you have to take care of karma. And how to do it? We have to avoid evil, all evil, to purify the mind by following the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada 183, verse 183. So having this understanding, then we need to understand one more thing, which the Buddha actually taught us. Law of karma means moral causation, mental intention involved. If your mental intention has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then if you act, speak, and think with the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the car. So this is Dhammapada verse 1. So in life, if you don't want to have suffering, then you have to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is how you have the right view, not to commit evil, to avoid all evil. And what are evil? Whatever that has a three evil root. So related to what I share in the quote, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. Means it will lead to suffering. Aware of it, be mindful of this. Then every moment in life, you will be sensitive. Once you see the evil root, once you realize your lack of peace, lack of joy and happiness, then the evil roots are there. Then you have to trace it through one, through your sensitivity, your mindfulness, stability that you have developed. That's why when you have mindfulness, the slight movement of your mind, the mundane mind, you will be aware. Even the very subtle dislike or unpleasant or feeling of imbalance means not the equanimity that your mind has developed as understanding. That's why the right samadhi is the final power factor. To develop this, you need to have all this understanding. Then only this one can come about. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why noble eightfold path is not easy. Then the Buddha make it easier for one to understand. Instead of just Dhammapada was 1 and 2 with the evil root, very complicated. So what he said is, law of karma is about moral causation, the mental intention. So if your mental intention is evil, have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you plant the seed of evil, is it? You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. And that one will be another good guy. That's why whenever you want to do something, the precept will guide you. First precept, Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhi Yami. What does it mean? We undertake the training rule to abstain from what? Killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. To kill and to cause harm, you need to have evil roots. Otherwise, you won't kill. Without delusion, you won't kill. Without anger, you won't kill. Then without selfishness, greed, you also won't kill. So the three evils are there. Even causing harm is the same. So these are very important understanding that we need to contemplate, reflect, and stabilize all this understanding so that we can constantly cultivate the first right view. Law of karma. We have to avoid all evil. Means we have to train our mind to be ever mindful, to avoid the five precepts first. Then we go deeper, go beyond the five precepts. We move into what constitutes evil. Means not only restrict to the five precepts. These five precepts are just major evil. Like undertake the training to abstain from killing. We add it, causing harm to fellow living beings. Then the second one is the undertake the training rule not to steal, not to misappropriate, not to take things that don't belong to us. So that one is basically a general precept. But when you have greediness, covetousness, craving, desire. This one is also greed, understand? This one is also part of greed and delusion. This one is also part of the second precept. If you don't have the refinement of mindfulness to see your subtle greed, your subtle selfishness, or even your minor conceit and all those things, means you can still commit karma coming at the more subtle level. So all these are the understanding and the training. Yeah. Then after that, we move on to the second right view, which is after law of karma is what? Right view in regards to law of mind, citta niyama. So citta niyama, you need mindfulness to see clearly how you function as a human being. How the paticca samuppada that the Buddha taught us function within life itself. Means every moment of sense experience, every moment of living, we need to be mindful, to be aware, to see this link, the 12 links. The first two is what? Avijja paccaya sankhara. How do we see that? How do we know there's avijja or no avijja? First, we must understand avijja is what? Ignorant. But people just stop there, not ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of what? Huh? The Dhamma and the Sangha, noble truth, the Four Noble Truths especially. So if you don't have that understanding of these Four Noble Truths, you will suffer. So that's why the Four Noble Truths is very important. The Buddha said you have to turn it three times, the three turning. First Noble Truth is what? He explained to us clearly the life, eight realities, means realities of life and existence. Everything within life and existence is never apart from the eight reality. And when the eight reality arise, without the Dhamma understanding, it triggers suffering. That right view is very important. You shouldn't just believe what the Buddha said. Put it into practice. Investigate into it. That's why when you are mindful, you can see whether the Buddha is right or not. Yeah. So when you are ignorant of that, means like the first turning, this noble truth of suffering is to be, what is the first turning? Huh? First noble truth of dukkha is to be, understood, you have to understand it. Otherwise you suffer without knowing that you are suffering. Understand? You don't know that this is the first noble truth, reality. That's why people are caught, entangled, even old age sickness and death, but they cannot understand. Then separation from loved one, choice, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Then to be with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want. All this can lead to suffering. Then in short, the meditative, the final eight reality, where you attach and cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, that trigger of suffering. That's why the upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate, is suffering. And that right view is very powerful. Then not only stop there, you move on. The cause of arising of suffering, the second noble truth, the Buddha said, is craving. Put it to test, investigate. What is craving? Means when feeling arises, if I attach and cling, do I suffer? That's why pleasant, unpleasant, light and dislike. All this lead to suffering, duality. You grasp, you cling, you hold. If I hold on to perception, attach to possession, crave for things my way, which is not nature's way. You want things your way. You suffer. So feeling, perception, yeah, the physical body or mental form, and also after that is your thought process, your activity of mind, your sankhara, your views, your opinion, your mental states, your emotion, your fear. If you attach and cling, you suffer. Then the last one is consciousness. Then you realize this five aggregate must not be grasping aggregate. The moment you have delusion, the evils of greed, hatred, it becomes grasping. That's why you have to develop all this understanding to free the mind from all this grasping that causes suffering. Then the third noble truth says suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized. That's it. Investigate into it. Silence your mind and find out. That's why the third and the fourth way, the meditative way. Be with it aware that it exists. Then you realize, yes, whatever negativity of mindset could be anger, hatred, fear, insecurity, or panic attack, or whatever. When you are aware, be with it, exists. Then you realize these are dependent, originating, condition arising, not a reality. That's how you're free. So all this can lead to a lot of understanding. Then the fourth noble truth is there is a path. If you cultivate this path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why this second right view is very powerful. Right view regards to citta, your mind, citta niyama, how you function as a human being. Then the third right view is right view regards to the Dhamma, the four noble truths, which I explained. They are all interconnected and related. Now you see. So because of that, once you have developed this right view, when you meditate, your mindfulness and awareness will make you sensitive and you will see the link. Then you will come to know, no wonder, avijja. Before you know the four noble truths, you get yourself entangled. Clear enough? Your suffering, your like, dislike, your duality, your fear, your whatever memory accumulated, your views, opinion, condition, all this come from where? Come from your lack of the Dhamma understanding. That's why you accumulated all this. And from there you act. There's an acting according to memory, it's not acting. Then you realize every time you go to the memory, there is avijja, wrong view, ignorant. That's why avijja, paccaya sankhara. When you think without the right view, you create wrong thought. You understand? Your habitual tendency, your defilement, all this surface. Because what you accumulate in your memory are a lot of negative tendency, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your wrong view, your belief system, everything, even your society. So all this contribute to the wrong thought. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Then you realize every time you think according to that, you create suffering. Then how should you think? How should you act? That's why the Buddha said, acting according to memory. Oh, sorry, this is what Krishnamurti said. Acting according to memory is not acting. He said, act according to Noble Eightfold Path. When you have all this right view, it prevents you from going to the memory. You understand? Because you have this understanding already, why do you need the old memory that has given you so much trouble to live life? That's why you use this right understanding or right view to live life, the Four Noble Truths. From there, you go to the second turning, the third turning. So first turning is proclamation of truth. Then second turning, this noble truth is to be understood, especially the first noble truth. Then after you have developed the second turning, the third turning is this noble truth or dukkha has been understood. Means all the eight reality you have investigated into it, you have realized it. Then the second noble truth, cause of suffering, you have abandoned it or severed it. Then the third noble truth, you have actually realized it. Oh, sorry, before you realize it, cultivated it. Then the fourth noble truth also says, the noble eightfold path is to be cultivated. That have been cultivated, is to be realized. The third noble truth that has been realized. So all this, once you have finished the three turning, your right view has been perfected. Then you can see the movement because you have mindfulness developed. Avijja paccaya sankhara. You no longer go to the brain. Then you realize when you act according to Dhamma understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path, then you realize it does not stir like before. Like law of karma, law of mind. The untrained mind think a lot, restless, natural. I accept. I don't panic. I don't worry. I don't, like Chiu Po Lien last Tuesday, he go to retreat, he complained. He said a lot of thought, worse than when she was at home. Why? It's because she doesn't understand. She didn't relax, she didn't train, and all this right understanding is not there. That's why when you have all this right understanding, you act according to this right understanding, then you realize your mind is always tranquil, at peace, because acceptance, right view allow you to accept the reality. Like the Buddha said, law of karma, born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions, you are what you are. So whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind it. Most likely it's karma. If it's karma, what must you do? You must do what you have to do. Isn't it? You have to act accordingly, based on understanding. Miss, if I need to ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. Understand? Then I make aspiration for repentance, not to do it again. Understand? So repentance and asking for forgiveness is most important. Then after that, I start to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate according to Noble Eightfold Path. Means avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Once the right view is there, the wrong view and the evils are not there. Then to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or living become relatively easy. Right view, condition, right thought. We are without evil root. And you will condition right speech, right action. So this one, you can simplify it into right communication skill. The way you communicate with people is the way you communicate with people. So this skillful way of communicating with people without negativity of the evil root, you have to learn to cultivate it. You have to develop it through your own life experience and encounter. So all this I have taught you all before. So you go back and listen to the whole recording, then you will understand. Then when it comes to living, it's very easy. You live following Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Then you won't go wrong. Then right, for right effort also I have taught you all. Whenever you are mindful, if the wrong thought has arisen, right effort to abandon it. Understand? Then after you have developed the wisdom, the moment you are aware, it cannot come out already. Because the second turning of the Four Noble Truths is understood. Then when you have understood that, you can have the right effort. Actually, it's not an effort. It's the wisdom that frees you to prevent it from arising. The wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. Because automatically, when you have the wisdom, understanding, it cannot arise. It will cease. But you must have mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is very important. So the third right effort is the right speech, right action, and right thought that are still not in you, or right living, right livelihood, they're still not in you. Cultivate it. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon it, perfect it. Understand? Then this sati, mindfulness, right sati and right mindfulness is cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness here. So here, cultivating four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Then once you have all this understanding, the samadhi will be there. Yeah, this is a wisdom factor. The right samadhi born of wisdom is equanimity, the last enlightenment factor. So this is how you develop it. Then the 12 link, you will see very clearly how avijja paccaya sankhara, every time you act according to memory, avijja is there. You act according to Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, no avijja. That's how you free. You can accept, because like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes. And so no matter what happened to you in life, very likely it's related to karma. So first thing first is to ask for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this. Then repent. Then the second one is follow the advice of the Buddha to reverse all these wrong actions, wrong speech, wrong thought, all things, to avoid all evil, to go and meditate, to purify your mind, to develop this noble eightfold path. Once you do this, your parami, your merits, your blessings, your wisdom will be enhanced. You will be perfected. Then this can give rise to a lot of causes and conditions for you to reverse whatever karmic problem. That's why the third support is, after you have cultivated this, we are following the advice of the Buddha, you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to break free from this whatever karmic negativity, or for you to recover from your whatever disease, sickness, or your problem. So all these are understanding that can lead to very beautiful way of resolving your life problem. Understand that? So that you can act and move on with your life. So this aspect, last time, I didn't have the time to go in because it's a very big topic. But now you are able to see how it connects up all the teaching. That's why last time I already told you all, if you finish whatever form of meditation, it's not enough. You have to come back to the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the fourth noble truth. If you don't cultivate this, you will not develop the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. But without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot have these four conduct or qualities. Especially right duty. Wise conduct maybe you already have, but upright and good conduct, very difficult. Without Noble Eightfold Path factor, very difficult. The formal meditation and the daily mindfulness can only give rise to wisdom initially. Then this Noble Eightfold Path, you have to cultivate until it becomes a part of you. That is how you meditate, develop the cultivation. And this is the full spectrum, full range of cultivation. Okay? Any questions so far? Huh? If no question, then we move on. So I like to finish off quote number 21 also. Well, this one is also related. Huh? Quote 21, I think after that we stop. Unique Dhamma quote 21. If the meditation that you do does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then that is not the teaching or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can go and do whatever you call Vipassana or whatever. If it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path factor, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because under the Parinibbana Sutta, you remember, what did the Buddha told Ananda? He was answering the last person that met him, the Buddha. He said, as long as the world still has the Noble Eightfold Path, the world will not be empty of Aryas. Remember that sentence. To have Arya, you must have Noble Eightfold Path. That's it. Okay? So we stop here. Eh? The day one is very good because I covered the whole thing. Normally, I don't have time to cover the whole thing. So one session to cover all this code, which are all related and connected, is very beautiful. Now only you understand why the unique code, I call it unique. You understand? Because they are not only the code that I mentioned, but I categorize them in the way that is all connected on. That you can develop the understanding of the cultivation. Okay, now we will open up for second session. So second session is meditation reporting. Or followed by whatever question you may have. You can ask me Dhamma question or meditation question. Then also application of the Dhamma, which is today's topic. Okay, are you there?
Hello, Amitabha,
Ah, Amitabha, yes.
and all Kayamitas.
Yeah.
For me to share everything.
Or you have
actually,
any question or not, Puchek? Today's topic, you can also discuss on today's topic, the unique Dhamma code.
actually, Brazil, I just came back from holiday, so
Oh, you were not with us for the whole session today.
no, I wasn't. I was away for a week.
I know
Was
your
away.
sister told me you are away, I think, not around.
Yes.
You went to
So
Vietnam, is it?
yes, I went to
Yeah.
Vietnam. So maybe I talk a little bit about the Vietnam because
Your trip, yes.
yes,
Sadhu.
because I went to a temple, Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I had the intention to go some temples because I have never been to a temple in Vietnam. I've been to Vietnam twice. This is my third time. But all the time I never get to visit the temple, mainly because that time I wasn't that serious into cultivation, you know. But now that I'm into the serious cultivation, right? So I actually like to visit the temple to see the culture, the differences, you know. So I went to see and I asked my Vietnamese friend, what temple does she visit? So I thought using her reference, you know, being a Buddhist, so I can take a look. But of course, I also checked out the Google,
Yes.
which are the Buddhist temple. So it lists a few Buddhist temple. So I thought, then I kind of asked my friend, you know, what do you think about this Buddhist temple? Do you go to this Buddhist temple? So she told me she went to three of these Buddhist temple most of the time. So with that in mind, I kind of like look at the map and see which are the nearest to the location that I stay, like, you know, in the hotel near the temple that's near, you know. So, excuse me, I kind of like
Never mind,
dry my throat.
slowly.
So I went to one of the nearest to the hotel, you know, which is she said very nice in the lake, you know. So I went there and then without looking at the Google what to expect of the temple, so I went in. You need to pay an entrance fee, a minimum sum of entrance fee. Then we went in. It's a very nice temple actually, in the sense that it has a very beautiful lake. It has a bridge, and surprisingly, a lot of tourists also and locals also visit the temple.
Oh,
And
okay.
because we went pretty late, actually not say pretty late, but the sun set very fast, you know, like 5:30 already dark, you know, Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Very fast, the sky turned dark, you know.
Yeah, shorter
So
day, longer night.
shorter day, very short. So anyway, it's not a big temple, it's a small temple that we went. And it was not I expected, I mean, actually, I don't know what to expect of it because this is the first time I went there. So I said, Buddhist temple like that. I so take a look, I know that they have a big, we call it the sword turtle in the temple, you know, very big too, you know. I think maybe it's a real turtle that died or what, they kind of like, you know, put it for display to see, you know, such a huge turtle, you know, in the
Oh,
temple.
okay.
Maybe from the lake or what, I do not know because I didn't. I actually took a picture of it, but I haven't got time to read the story about this turtle and all that, you know. So
Yeah, it's okay, no problem.
it kind of like not what I expected as a Buddhist temple, Brazil, you know, huh?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because different places, different culture, they are all different. So
Correct.
we need to understand. But
Yes.
basically, if it's a Mahayana temple, you go in, the few buildings are quite similar. Is it a Mahayana temple?
Actually, it's not. It's not Mahayana
Oh.
temple. It's more like a local temple, you know, Brazil.
Oh, like a local Vietnamese.
But it's written there Buddhist temple. Kind of funny. I mean, in on the Google, you know, in the Google, it's
Means
Buddhist.
according to the Vietnamese tradition.
It's a Buddhist temple, you know. So I don't see any Buddha statue there. So I kind of like do not know. I also don't see any Kuan Yin statue there. So I also don't know, you know. Yeah, so I don't know what kind of temple is that, like, you know. I was looking for that kind of statue to tell me that it's a Buddhist temple or something like that, no, right? So I was like, okay, never mind, because it's the first time. So I didn't expect anything, so never mind, you know. So I go on with my other stuff, you know, okay, what I want to tell you is, surprisingly, we have to cancel one of our trip to Sapa, which is the Phan Xi Phan, the very nice place, you know, where you go up to the mountain, because of the cable car was under maintenance. So we have to cancel it because we don't want to spend 6 hours there and then never get to see the mountain, you know. Where I Google, my friend told me, my friend been there, she said, very nice, you have the very big Kuan Yew statue there, you know. So I want to go and see, you know, it's a very nice view of the mountain. But anyway, cancer, so we had a lot of time and we do not know what to do. So, but anyway, my husband actually booked a one-day tour to this special place called Bai Ninh. And I didn't have time to Google, you know, because at time I also didn't mind what he planned or whatever he planned is okay with me. But Bradio, that was a very, very interesting trip because I was like so amazed by the big, huge temple, you know. It's a Buddhist temple. It's a Buddhist Mahayana temple, Bradio. It was so big. And we even had to take the mini electric car, you know, around from the entrance to the hall, you know, to the hall. It's, you know, you have to be, you have to take the ride, the mini electric car ride, you know. They use electric car, you know. They are quite green, you know, in terms of saving, reducing the carbon footprint. So we went there and I tell you, Bradio, the temple is so huge. It's on a 700 hectares to 800 hectares.
That's very big.
Yes, 700 to 800 hectares of area.
That is very, very big.
I was like shocked, you know. So when we go there.
What is the name of that temple?
Bai Ninh Temple.
Bai Ninh.
B-A-I-N-I-N-H. So,
Which part of Vietnam is it?
It's the north of Vietnam.
North, is it Da Nang area?
No, Da Nang is the middle of Vietnam.
Middle.
Yeah, it's further north of Hanoi.
Is it near the Halong Bay there?
Hanoi is at the coastal. This one is not at the coastal. This is inner region. But it's not too far from Hanoi. It's like a 2.5 hour journey.
Means it's quite near to China,
Yes. Quite near to China, actually. So the temple is so huge, right? And then the statue, is so beautiful, you know, brother.
Sadio.
You can Google and you can see it, you know. So huge. And they have not just one. I mean, they have the and then they have the Kuan Yin on both sides, left and right, very tall and big, in the sense, very elegant and nice, you know.
If we ask this Mr. To organize, I think we must put this in the itinerary.
I think so, Bradio. But you must not just spend half a day.
I never go
now. You better spend one full day.
Yeah, I can ask him.
And then overnight stay or something like that. Because it's such a big area, we kind of we are given 1.5 hour, you know, so little. So we didn't explore everything. We just go to two main hall. I mean, surprisingly, this tour guide is very clever. He just choose the main hall to go to, which is
Because too Kuan big, that place is too
Buddha,
big.
You know?
Yeah,
but we didn't
the
get
place
to go
is
to the
big.
Maitreya Buddha Hall. We didn't get to go to another place. I also cannot remember. So there are a few places we didn't get to go, you know. The stupa also we didn't get to go, where they said there's the relics of the Buddha there, you know. So we also didn't get to go. Yeah. So we also didn't get to go. So we, then go to the Sakya Mini Buddha, right? Wow, it's so nice, you know. So how is it, mesmerizing, you know, the statue is so nice and shining, is like gold, you know, glittering gold like that, you know.
Oh,
I don't know whether it's gold or not, but I think maybe
this temple is worth going from the way you describe it.
Yes, it's very beautiful, and the whole place is so beautiful. The whole place is well maintained, the garden, and then you will walk many, you must plan to walk, you know, because the many steps, and then they have this 500 arahants corridor, you know.
Oh,
you can
the hall,
go and see
500 arahant hall,
the different arahants, you know. But I don't know,
yeah.
500, then you walk, you know, it's a lot of walking.
Oh, miss, this one is a real Mahayana temple, they have all very big one.
Yes, correct. So it's this bonus for me, you know. Wow, I said this is like unexpected, so nice, so different, you know.
Yeah, compared to the first one. Got nothing,
yes. Although the first one is at the beautiful lake, but the temple is not what I expected.
Yeah.
This one is like not a beautiful lake, but it is a very beautiful mountain, you know, huge, 700, 800 hectares of land, and the only thing is we don't have time to go and see everything, you know.
This is really something interesting. I never knew Vietnam got such a big temple.
Yes.
Is it a private owned?
No, everybody can go and visit, Radio.
I know. Is the owner a listed company or just a private?
Actually, the details I do not know, but I know that this tour guide told me that there is this rich man that turned from rags to riches, contributed to this temple so much, you know.
Oh, no wonder. Now I know. Yeah. It's definitely got this type of story.
Well maintained and so well, but whether private or not, public or not, I do not know, brother. But this rich man contributed.
Means this rich man must have bought the land. Otherwise, they cannot have it. Last time we went to China, that trade the Huineng Liu Chu. I think at one of the temple, Liu Chu Si or what, I forgot already. Si Hui, there is also a story of somebody who actually went there, and he after that like more or less rag to riches. Then he vowed to come back and build up the area. And he really come back after he make his money in Hong Kong. Then he come back, he donated a lot, and he built up the whole place. That's why sometimes it's meant to be. Then this
actually, Bradio, this is exactly his words also. He said that he make his riches from the land, so he want to contribute and pay back. So that's why he contributed in the road building as well. So this is according to the tour guide, they took 5 hours to go from Hanoi to the temple, you know, 5 hours. Now it's cut short by half. So it's become 2.5 hours in
good.
Hours.
Means they have highway.
Yes. They built he built the highway, he paid all the money to build the highway.
Wow, very good.
to
him.
And so the temple also have the mini electric car for you, you know, from the entrance.
Wow, that's very, very.
So you don't have to walk, you know.
Special,
very stressful to see the
temple.
Yeah, you know?
To maintain the area is not easy, you know. It must have cost them a lot of money.
But you pay a minimum sum to enter to use the mini electric car.
Worth it, or if it's like that, it's worth it.
Yes.
You can use it to drive around.
Yes.
Environmentally friendly.
Correct. But you need a tour guide to like arrange everything nicely with whatever, you know, whoever that they will ferry you here and there, you know. Otherwise,
that's very good. So you all travel on a bus?
Yeah. The bus also, Habratio, is not the local small bus. It's a limousine bus that is very comfortable, you know, brother.
Oh, sadu.
Yeah.
How many of you all?
The maximum people is 17 people. So we have 17 people on the bus to the temple, you know. Local.
The quite a luxurious one. Good.
Yes. Hey, but Bratio very cheap.
How much cost you?
It's very, Everything in Vietnam is very cheap, you know, Brazil. I tell you, you cannot believe
How much?
it. It's only 48 Sing dollar, you know,
Oh,
per person, you
yeah.
know. It's
My wife
everything
at
included,
Pharmacery
you know, the
said cheap
bus, the.
because it's in Sing dollar.
Ah, is it? No, wait, you listen, The entrance fee is free. The transport back and forth to your hotel is free. I mean, included, not say free, inclusive. And by the way, this is not the only place that we visited. Like I told you, we follow a tour. We only have 1.5 hours at the monastery. After that, he bring us to another two different locations, plus lunch included, no gratio. So everything, you know, three
That's
places.
cheap.
Yes, that's why I say it's very cheap. It's just that we don't have
How
enough
many
time
days
to.
total? Total how many
No,
days?
this is just a one-day tour, right?
Oh, one
One
day
day
tour only.
tour. You see so many things.
How much
No,
it cost you?
for me, I'm saying we went there for 7 days, just that we visit this place. It's a one-day
Oh,
tour.
this is a local tour, separate one.
Yes.
Not in your original itinerary on.
No, we change it, but we do it the booking in Singapore.
Oh, okay. Can you send the itinerary to us?
Yes,
Send to
definitely.
us, then we
But I
have a
think it
look.
would be better to have a 1 night or 2 night there. Plus, Matthew,
Yeah,
there's other temples
because
that we must go and
Brother
see also.
can help us arrange. Yeah, he familiar with Vietnam tour. He is
Okay.
doing a lot now, he said. So you send us the itinerary, yeah?
Who is doing it?
Mr.
Oh,
Our
okay.
tourist no, our tourist what our tour company who specialize
In
organizing
Malaysia,
Kayak
that
Mitra tour one.
in Malaysia.
Yeah, in Malaysia, he all the spiritual trip last time he went before MCO mostly is arranged by him one, and he did very well. But China locked down, so now he do Vietnam. So we promised him during my gathering of Kayamita birthday lunch that we will talk to him. Pharmacy got the itinerary, but different. So include yours, then I can maybe discuss with Pharmacy, then talk to Mr. and get it sort out. Where China, I don't think is going to open so fast. We are now locked down some more. Yeah, but recently the case went up again, though.
Asymptomatic.
Oh, no wonder. So asymptomatic lah. Oh, that is very good lah. That is very good. Okay. So Bocheng, very good. Send us
Yes.
the itinerary.
Yes. But just one temple not good enough. There are many other temples that is worth going as well along.
Yes.
Yes.
Let us
Like
know.
the I also check out one other temple that I'd like to go, which I didn't go, you know, because it's very far away from one place to
Then
another.
our next
So
trip you can come along.
So I like to suggest another temple we go as well, you know.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forward to
So
us.
this temple I find very nice, and the thing is the environment is also very conducive, very quiet. And they this tour guide told us that there's this Bodhi garden, but this Bodhi plant is different from the Bodhi plant that we have seen in Bogaya, you know. But actually they have two types, like they have two types. One other type, because it was fruiting so huge, you know, so many fruits. So I was saying, he was telling us this fruit is very good to make into wine, to cure your bones, to strengthen your bones and things like that. And he tell me that is a Bodhi plant, you know. So I said, how come Bodhi plant is different? The leaves also different. There's fruit. Well, he said this one is the so-called same family of Bodhi plant. Okay, but the Bodhi plant that we see, the leaves is heart-shaped one, you know. But this is not, really. Yeah. But anyway, that monastery has a lot of this plant, you know, and they use it to make drinks to strengthen the bones, lah. Yeah. So I also had this. I took a pictures of this plant also with the many fruits. So
Oh,
interesting
you
also.
want to share? You
Yeah,
can share later.
I can share
Later,
later. Yes. Yes. So
whatever
this.
picture you have.
Yes. So that was also
Share in
very.
our WhatsApp group, yeah.
Yes. So that it was very interesting trip, lah. Okay.
Oh,
Then.
sadhu.
Then I want to tell you about my meditation report on the trip
Sadhu.
to the mountain, Navratio. to the mountain. So this is one mountain trip after the second destination. This tour also bring us to this lake, this huge lake, that we boating or kayaking, that you kayak with some people, the worker, that actually is the one that do the boating for us. But because they also give us the paddle, so we also help to paddle, because poor thing, you know, he has to paddle the whole place, you know, for 2 hours, you know, radio.
Oh,
the whole lake, whole place, you cover 2 hours, and you cover a few caves, you know. The caves is above the mountain, above the lake, you know, and below the mountain, something like that, radio. Very interesting. So, you know, if you go to Vietnam, you must go to the Halong Bay, where you see all the mountains.
Yeah, the scenery very nice, I was told.
The South China Sea. The mountains is inside the South China Sea, you know. It's in the ocean. But this one, the mountain is on land, you know, and the lake is, the mountain is surrounding the lake, you know, the huge lake.
Oh,
and
okay.
Paddle, you know, for 2 hours, you know. So it's very different, but very nice compared to the Halong Bay. The Halong Bay has a different beauty itself, lah. You know,
yeah, correct.
Which we also went, which is very good to go. Must go, lah. That one very good, you know. To see the ocean, the color of the ocean from green to blue and blue to green, and all very beautiful, lah. You know. Yes.
Oh, that's very good. And, I didn't know Vietnam got such places.
So beautiful. We must go, actually.
Send us the itinerary, then some WhatsApp photo. I will make sure I arrange with Pamasuri Leon. Then we talk to Mr. Hopefully, we can have a trip.
Yes. Okay, coming back to this mountain, right? So we were given 1 hour and about 5 minutes to climb the mountain, no, Bradio? Mountain that has is a huge mountain. According to the tour guide, he said it's 500 steps, you know, go up the mountain, to the mountain peak. Then you come down in 1 hour, you know, finish in 1 hour, because the sun is going to come dark. So there's not much lighting, you know, so you have to come down, you know, by hook or crook, you have to come down. So because it's the last itinerary, so the sun is going to set. So, but anyway, we have 1 hour from 4 to 5. We have to come down. The entrance there, you know, all of us will meet, you know? So being the old people in the bus, right? I mean, there are young people and old people, Bradio. I also did not expect the mountain is, I mean, I don't have any expectation how the mountain, I mean, how do we climb up and come down? He just said, you go up and come down and then you meet here, you know, that's it. You know, the tour guide said, it's 500 steps, 500 steps. Okay, doable, we go. We go. And then, because my husband has long legs, so he has the advantage of
long leg.
Short leg, got problem. Then, being old, and I also have height phobia, so going up is a problem. So I had I find that because the mountain, as it go higher and higher, becomes narrower and narrower the path, you know. It was wide and not so steep. I mean, wide step, I mean, you can have a few people, walking up. As you go up to the peak, it becomes like less and less people can go at the same time, you know, Bradio.
More narrow.
You know, it's more narrow, and then the step it becomes steeper and steeper, you know. It's no longer like a smaller step but bigger step. Is like you call that rock climbing, the kind of thing, you know, become more and more tough, you know, as you go higher and higher, you know. You know, and steeper, you know, steeper. So the feeling of going up makes me giddy, you know. While I look at it, it makes me giddy, you know, really, you know, because I felt a bit giddy, you know, but my husband was okay. I felt very giddy, you know. So I said, you go ahead, because if I cannot complete it, it's okay. I just stop somewhere.
No need to finish. You know? You can just stop halfway.
I can stop halfway. You go ahead and do whatever you want. Because it's very beautiful, you know, from the top. I'm very sure.
The scenery,
Yes, the scenery is, you can see the whole valley, you know. So, I actually vanished halfway. So I said I here, I will stop here because there's a platform. I can see the view. I can see the pagoda. I can see. Actually, brother, this mountain has two peaks. You know, we only go to one peak. Whatever peak that my husband chose, like, he want to see the dragon. He said,
oh, okay.
So he said he will choose that peak. So I follow him, lah. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The other peak, I do not know, lah. But we only manage one peak, huh? So but there are two peaks. You know, if you want to have two peaks, you cannot go like 1 hour. You have to go more than 1 hour, lah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I stopped at the rest area, you know, at the middle of the mountain, you know. Then I say, I look around, I see quite nice view. I'm very happy, you know. I can stop here, you know. Volunteer, very funny, you know. There's this urge that said I must continue, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I don't feel giddy anymore, so I said, oh, I must continue, leh. So then I just said, okay, look, let me continue. Try a few steps. And then I reached the peak, you know, brother. I reached the peak, then I looked around. Oh, you're very crowded, you know, the platform very crowded, right? So, but I managed to see the view. Like, then I said, wow, the view so nice. I should take a video of it, like, you know?
Yeah,
I want to show my children. So, when I took the view, then suddenly, I saw the Guan Yin in front of me. I said, huh? How come got Guan Yin here, you know?
Wow, you know, sadu.
But actually, there is a Guan Yin there, brother.
Oh.
Yes. But I didn't know there is a Guan Yin, and the tour guide also never tell us, and we never do the so-called homework to check what is there to see it, what to expect. We didn't do any of that, you see. So we just go there and see, and suddenly, hey, this Guan Yin is in front of me, you know. You know what I mean? Because I was taking a video of 360.
Then the Guan Yin appear.
Yes, yes. In the video, they say, hey, how come Guan Yin here? So I say, I look around, I say, because so many people, brother Teo, you know.
Mm.
So I don't know whether it's really Guan Yin or not, because it was all in white at first. When I look at the video, it's, hey, how come got one picture all white, you know? Then I say, it must be Guan Yin. Then when I look around again, it is really the Guan Yin statue at the top of the peak, you know.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was,
Yeah.
I didn't expect it because my husband was telling me, the tour guide said, go and look at the dragon, you know, look at the dragon. So I didn't see the dragon, but I see the Guan Yin statue. But
actually,
there is also the dragon on further up a few more steps.
Okay.
But because, like I said, the step is all very narrow and only a few people can go. It was traffic jam. Anyway, cannot go up there anymore because full of people already, brother. So it was like that. It was very cool and very unexpected. And it's just that I didn't expect that I can go up to the peak.
Reach the peak.
Again, you know, I said, you know, I didn't expect it. So it was very beautiful, right?
Sadhu, very good.
But the one thing I did was, because I was still, right, I used the Kaya Nupassana to help me with my
Yeah, journey. That one will help a lot. That's why I was about to ask you, when you are very tired climbing up the steps, you must be aware. Then when you are aware, and you are tired, your consciousness become different. Different. That's why just now you mentioned when you feel giddy, by that time you are not with your kaya. Then after that, when you rest, your mindfulness come back. Then you realize you can move again, you can walk again. That's why you will be able to continue until you reach the peak. So when you are tired, just relax. Sometimes you need to rest, you rest. Then echo and flow, body and mind as one. You feel very different. Then that walking become very different. That mindfulness also become very different. Because when you are tired, there is no control over your body. Only most of the time is the awareness and the mindfulness is there. And you barely just able to sustain yourself to climb up. But very interesting. I remember when we climbed Fanjing San, also very steep. I don't think yours is as steep as Fanjing San. That one, we reached the top, everybody completed. That was a heroic one. But now you ask me to climb that one, I don't want to. At this age, cannot. And luckily, Mr. Er took us the back door, not from the front door. Because Mr. Er went there and do a survey, reckoning. They call it the survey before he take us. He did a good job. Then he said, if there is the way down so much easier, well, when he went up the hard one. He said that one impossible for Kayamita to climb. So luckily we go through back door. We go up from the coming down one, then we come down also safe place. Yeah. But it was interesting, yeah. Then I remember Ling San Ta Fo, we went there, also a lot of walking. Very the Buddha is so big, that from the valley traveling along the road, from far you can see the Buddha like walking in the mountain. It's very, very big. Then when you are there, they got this bronze Buddha and the hand very big. 10 or 20 people can take photo and the hand can cover. So that one was very good. Then we saw some plants, the tree with the birds. We took the photo of the bird. They are like Dhamma birds in a row. So the energy there all very good. Did you feel the energy there? Project?
Right here when I was at the temple, right? So I was doing my salutation, right? Then I feel the energy from my heart and my palm, you know? Yes, I feel the energy. So that's why I felt that there's a connection to the temple.
Yeah, you were drawn. You were drawn.
Yes. So that's why I felt there's a connection. Although the time span is really...
Yeah, it's meant to be for you to be there. So that you can draw all this nature's energy and the great being's energy. Some of these places they have, especially the temple with 700 to 800 hectares, that one definitely got something there. That's why they tell you got relics and all those things. Then this temple so high also, for people to build, there must be a reason for it, the history. So send us the itinerary. Very good, Pujang.
Okay, I will send the itinerary of the temple, and then if you are interested, the mountain and also the lake. I felt that it's worth going. Plus,
send to us, send to us.
It's worth going. And then I also want to go to Da Nang, you know, Da Nang where there is this temple, other temple that is close by to Da Nang, you know.
Yeah, they told me Da Nang quite nice also. My brother went there.
Yes. So I also like to go, but I haven't go to that Da Nang area yet, you know. I think it's not too far, but not too near also, brother, but you definitely have to take either a long bus ride, train
yeah,
ride,
yeah, yeah.
A flight, you know, whatever that is, convenient to us.
Our itinerary include Da Nang.
Yes. So I would say we should cover the Bai Ninh, and then the other one if you're interested is the Sapa, which is very beautiful also, where they have the big Kuan Yin statue.
Good. Send us that one.
Cover that one, but because
Mr. Pamasuri say Mr. Er's itinerary has.
Okay, because of the, but we have to make sure we choose the time that the
cable. Correct. That's why you have to advise us. You send to us, then you advise us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So sadhu, Pujek.
Sadhu.
That's rejoice. Oh, good sharing. Meant to be. So WhatsApp to us the photo also. Okay. So we will end. Thank you so much. Let us rejoin. Today is an auspicious occasion. Our election end very well. So everybody now have good smiling face. They have a lot of faith for our country now, our country's future. Then everybody is having the joy, especially witnessing the stock market and the currency strengthening. There's a lot of joy, really. Then we hope that with this, the consciousness continue to evolve and Malaysia will be another up-and-coming country again, Dragon. in the making. Okay, let us now share merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo santang samagamo otu yao nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we can now pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters in Dhamma, let's fold our palms together. We'll say a big sadhu to Brother Teo and Mr. Teo for coming all the way to share this beautiful Dhamma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Chin Hao for fetching Brother Teo and doing all the zooming and recording. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Po Ching for the interesting sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to everyone, inclusive of those online, for being here tonight to hear the beautiful sharing, beautiful and profound sharing on the Noble Eightfold Path by Brother Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Teo and Sister Pamasri for providing such a wonderful place for us to conduct the Buddha Dharma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.